Remember sitting at the kids' table when you, with the extended family, when it gathered for Christmas dinner? I sat many a year at the kids' table. It was usually a card table covered with a tablecloth, usually had mismatched seats or folding chairs, while the adult table had matching plates and silverware and glasses. Many times our plates were plastic, and the cups usually were mismatched plastic cups or even paper cups. While getting your first serving of food was no problem, if you wanted seconds, you had to go beg somebody at the big table to scoot you out some seconds, or you tried to look on between the shoulders of those two privileged adults. I remember many of you wondering if I was, when I was a young teenager, would one day, maybe this year, maybe I will move up to the big table. I'm not going to lie. Several years I was wishing that one of our uncles would pass away, kick the bucket, so I could be graduated to the big table. Did you know that David sat at the kids' table? That's where we find him in our scriptures today. David was the youngest of Jesse's sons and the infamous little brother. What can we learn from David at the kids' table? From the account in 1 Samuel 16, we learn that David's family had a special guest join them for dinner. The guest was Samuel, the prestigious leader of Judah. He had announced that he'd come to offer sacrifice, which is really a cover, because the king Saul, the king of the time, was very suspicious, and Saul had reason to be suspicious, because Samuel's real reason for coming was to anoint a new king for Israel, from Jesse's boys. So we read 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse 5. And he said, that's Samuel, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammaha pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." So Samuel gathered with the family at the table, and Jesse and seven of his sons were at the table. But God revealed to Samuel that his choice for king was not sitting at the main table. Samuel asked Jesse if he had any more sons. Look at verse 11. Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, and we will not sit down till he comes here." There was one, the youngest, who was saddled with the lowest task of the family, like keeping sheep. He was the one relegated to the kids' table. But God had great plans for the one sitting at the kids' table. Look at verse 12 through 13. "And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Samuel was shocked by this choice. Jesse was shocked. Obviously, the other seven brothers were shocked. But the all-seeing, all-knowing God, who knew the potential of a heart, had made his choice. It would be David, a shepherd boy, through whom the Christ of Christmas would be traced. So often, when God is ready to act, he starts with somebody at the kids' table. He has his eye on the kids' table. There is great potential there. Which brings us to our first point. God uses people from the kids' table to do his work. When God needed a leader for his oppressed people in Egypt, he had his eye on the kids' table. When he needed a prophet judge who would lead, rule Israel for 40 years and anoint the first two kings of Israel, he chose from the kids' table. When he needed a forerunner for the Messiah, he chose again from the kids' table. And when he was ready to bring the Messiah into the world, he hung the Star of Bethlehem over the kids' table. Often parents get lost in the physical demands of child rearing. There are necessities of cooking and feeding, bathing, laundry, disciplining, and being a taxi driver from one event to another. And it all seems mundane. But there's more than the mundane here. There's something special. Investment in lives with great potential. Every parent should raise their children in the Lord with the expectation of a Jesse moment. The moment when God calls your child himself, when he chooses your child for a task, when he brings glory to himself through the one that he gave you to raise for his purposes. If God has an eye on the kids' table, we had better do the same. As parents and grandparents, we need to be aware of the potential at the kids' table. There are hearts for God at the kids' table. There's tomorrow's throne occupiers. Parents, grandparents, and churches need to be making investments in the kids' table, praying over children, training them in the way of the Lord. God not only traced Christmas through the kids' table in the person of David, but he also used the kids' table to teach us the essence and rules of his kingdom. Jesus tied the entrance of the kingdom and greatness in the kingdom to the kids' table. Which brings us to our second point. Being like a child is a key to entering the kingdom of heaven. Being like a child is the key to entering the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3 says, "And truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now Jesus is not saying that we must be a child or the age of a child to enter his kingdom. He meant that we must have the heart of a child. Now a child is not sinless, but they are humble, dependent, trusting. In all my years of being a youth pastor or a pastor, whenever I talked to a child about salvation, I never had to deal with their pride. That always seems to come into play with adults. I never talked to a child who was proud of all the works they'd done or all the good that they did. Materialism and all that a person has accomplished and accumulated in their life was never an issue for children. A child is a picture of openness to Jesus, his invitation to become a child of God. Hence, when Jesus was saying that unless you become like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven, we can't get into the kingdom without being willing to sit at the kids' table. And finally, being like a child is the key to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4 says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." If you want to be great in the kingdom, you don't have to be a child, but you must have the heart of a child. A child thinks that the messiest job is the most fun. He doesn't see mundane tasks are beneath him. Pride does not make her balk or resent with an assignment. Kingdom greatness is determined by the heart. The greatest heart is willing to sit at the kids' table. God can take an ordinary person and use them extraordinarily, but that person must be willing to sit at the kids' table. Paul, as he described David in the book of Acts, described the humility of David's heart. Acts 13:22, and says, "When he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." David's willingness and humble heart allowed him to be used by God in a mighty way. Even after David sinned against God as a grown man and lost everything he had, he learned how to be great again. He had to humble himself and assume the heart of a child again. David wrote in Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Given David's great and many sins, have you ever wondered why he's called a man after God's own heart? After all, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband so he could be with her. How is he a man after God's own heart? One of the reasons is that he was always willing to come back to the kids' table. He had the heart of a child. What is the condition of our hearts? Do we have the heart of a child? Somehow you used to do what God asked, but maybe you've outgrown that. Maybe you've stopped following God because of your own pride and your own sin. Maybe we need to take a seat at the kids' table. Maybe we need to sit at a humble table and ask once again to submit to our Heavenly Father, repenting of our pride and our sin, and say, "What's next, Daddy? What do you want me to do? How can I be obedient?" It may be uncomfortable for you. The silverware and the cup may not match. It may look like everybody else is getting positions of honor in this world, but it's at the kids' table where good things happen. Mary and Joseph, descendants of David, came from a humble town on the outskirts of nowhere called Nazareth. God chose this young couple who were still sitting at the kids' table to give birth to the Savior. They didn't even get the privilege of giving birth in a hospital or even a home. But they gave birth to Jesus in a stable. And they placed their child, the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah, the King of Kings, in a feeding trough. I would say that's even lower than the kids' table. The birth announcement of the Savior also went out to the kids' table. Humble shepherds, the job that nobody else wanted to do, just like David so many years before, taking care of sheep in the middle of the night, the angels proclaimed the good news to them first because they were sitting at the kids' table. Jesus spent his entire ministry reaching out to and loving people at the kids' table. He literally invited kids to come and sit on his lap. He taught them, took time for them, letting them know that they were the greatest in the kingdom. He sat at the kids' table with Zacchaeus, one so hated he wasn't able to sit with anybody from the community. The only people he could sit with were other tax collectors. He sat with the woman at the well, who purposely came in the midday sun, in the heat of the day, because of the stares and the abuse she took from the town folk. She was sitting at the kids' table. The Pharisees chastised Jesus and claimed he couldn't be the Messiah because he sat and ate with tax collectors and sinners. He sat at the kids' table to proclaim to everyone, "You want to be great? You must be last. You want to be great? Be the least of these." Jesus showed us the ultimate example for us as he went to the cross himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, "Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Jesus Christ came to sit at the kids' table for you. He went to the cross to offer you salvation. But to enter that salvation, we too must humble ourselves. We have to admit we can't do it on our own. We need a Savior. We need his forgiveness. We don't want to live our life our own way. We want to live it for him. We must be willing to get rid of all pride, greed, hubris, kneel our lives before him. And when we sit at the kids' table, he saves us. He rescues us. He gives our lives meaning and purpose. And he promises us, when it comes time for the greatest holiday of all, we'll sit beside him at the table that matters for all eternity. Isaiah 25:6 tells us that the Lord of hosts is preparing a great banquet for us to be part of. And Jesus himself tells us when he comes back for us that there'll be a great wedding feast and we will sit at his side, not at the kids' table. And my friend, there's room for everyone. But we all have to sit first at the kids' table and enter his salvation.